mentioned here. Do you know, it's good to know if you rely on your news through iPhone or whatever, that Apple signed an exclusive agreement with Murdoch. Murdoch's corporation as, again, the exclusive provider of entire news and so on and so on. This is the danger today. It's no longer this clear distinction, private space, public space. The public space itself gets, as it were, privatized in a whole series of invisible ways, like the model of it being clouds, which is why, and again, this involves new modes of censorship. I repeat this. That's why you shouldn't be tricked when you say, but what really did we learn new? Maybe we learned nothing new, but you know, it's the same as in that beautiful old Andersen's fairy tale, the emperor is naked. The emperor is naked. We may all know that the emperor is naked, but the moment somebody publicly says the emperor is naked, everything changes. This is why, even if we learned nothing new, but we did learn many new things, but even if nothing learned, the forum matters. So don't confuse Julian and his gang, in a good sense, not the way they accuse you, don't confuse them with this usual bourgeois heroism, fight, investigative journalism, free flow, and so on. You are doing something much more radical. That's why it aroused such an explosion of resentment. You are not only violating the rules, disclosing secrets, and so on. Let me call it in the old Marxist way, the bourgeois press today has its own way to be transgressive. Each ideology not only controls what you say, but even how you can violate what you are allowed to say. You are not just violating the rules. You are changing the very rules how we were allowed to violate the rules. This is maybe the most important thing you can do.
Even as you were releasing information in all different ways, you then turned to the very gatekeepers who, in some cases, had kept back this information. And you worked with the mainstream media throughout the world in releasing various documents. Talk about that experience and that level of cooperation and what has happened after that.
If you want to have an impact, and you promise an impact, and you're an organization which is very small, where actually you have to co-opt or leverage the rest of the mainstream press. So under our model of how you make an impact and how you get people to do things that you wouldn't have been otherwise able to do, unless you have an army that can physically go someplace and panzer divisions that can roll over, the only way that you can easily make an impact is push information about the world to many, many people across the world. And so the mainstream press has developed expertise in how to do that. And it is competition also for people's attention. So if we had had several billion dollars to spend on advertising across the world, even if we could get our ads placed, we wouldn't easily be able to have made the same impact that we did. And we don't have that kind of money.
WikiLeaks editor-in-chief Julian Assange and Slovenian philosopher Slavoj Žižek speaking on Saturday before about 1,800 people in the East End of London. We had to end the event in order for Julian Assange to return to his bail address in order for him to meet his curfew. The event was sponsored by the Frontline Club. Part two of our conversation tomorrow, when, among other things, Julian Assange will talk about WikiLeaks' case against MasterCard and Visa. That does it for the show. If you'd like a copy, go to our website at democracynow.org. Special thanks to Julie Crosby, Dennis Moynihan, Rebecca Wallach, The Frontline Club. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Aaron Mate, Robbie Karen, Nermeen Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff, Hani Massoud. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us. Democracy Now! Is a listener-supported grassroots global news hour. You make it possible when you donate at democracynow.org. Thank you so much.
Hi, I'm Bob Longman with your WUSB concert billboard for Tuesday, July 5th. Hope you had a fine weekend. Todd Rundgren will be appearing at the Bolton Center in Bayshore, New York at 8 p.m. Buddy Miriam's mandolin experience will be at the Checkmate Inn in Issaquahoket, New York at 9:30 p.m. UW-USB concert billboard for Wednesday, July 6th. Kathy Krieger will be at the Fork and Vine in Glenhead, New York. Kenny Vance and the Planetones will be at Beach Hut at Tanner Park in Copaig, New York at 7 p.m. Your concert billboard for Thursday, July 6th, will be at Call in Manhattan at 8 p.m., Stage 1. The Falco Brothers will be at the Grey Horse Tavern in Bayport, New York at 8 p.m. Ryan Koenig will be at the Bitter End in Manhattan at 7:30 p.m. Robert Brewey will be at the O's Food and Wine Bar in St. James, New York at 7:30 p.m.
This has been today's Concert Billboard. Tune in each day to hear when your favorite performers are appearing at venues in the WUSB broadcast area, or maybe try out one you haven't heard before. The online version of the Concert Billboard at WUSB.fm has an upcoming schedule months ahead, so you know what to look forward to. Look for the WUSB Concert Billboard group on Facebook. Concert Billboard is a service of WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM.
Thank you, Bob. I don't know how you get your voice to do that. Just take a break from that for now and talk about something else, anything else, really. I mean, something must be going on, right? Yeah, all kinds of things in the news. Unfortunately, I can't get to the news because our internet seems to be down here. And, you know, I was kind of counting on that. I was kind of counting on having the internet so I could look at things because my printer jammed again. I couldn't print out stories. So, yeah. Oh, I'm not connected to the internet. Thank you, Mr. McIntosh, for telling me this. I kind of figured the 10 minutes of just sitting there with the little blue progress bar that doesn't ever give you any progress, I figured that might be a clue that I wasn't connected to the internet, but now I have the words to verify it. Thank you. Thank you so much. And, okay, you know, so we're not connected to the internet, fine. I can rely on our listeners to call in and talk to us, but I'm told now that we're on ultra-low power for some reason. I think we offended some right-wing Christian minister someplace, so we're at something like 0.01% of our power. So I don't even know if we can reach anybody. I'm not even sure we have enough power to get to the computer in the other room to stream the signal over the internet. So I might just be talking to myself. Yeah. Which I guess isn't such a bad thing if I wind up with nothing to say or no material whatsoever. But it seems okay, fine. I've got plenty I can draw upon from my experiences and my observations and things like that. A little bit bitter. Yeah, I'm a little bitter because of some of the things that I encountered along the way and some of the things I did and some of the things that are happening right now. You know, when did this campus declare war on trees? I pulled in just a few minutes ago and it was like some kind of a nightmare. I go away for what, 3 weeks? 2.5 weeks? And I can't trust anybody, apparently. They just wiped out all the trees on the north entrance, and I don't even know why. You know, supposedly the State University has no money, right? So they can't be building things. but somehow they are. And I'll just bet, and I'll get crap for saying this. I know I will. I'll just bet it's another stupid sports-related thing that they're building, right? It's got nothing to do with academics, nothing to do with undergraduate studies. It's either some really obscure, very specific, super graduate studies field that only three people on the planet can even understand, or it's another stadium or another field or another gym. You know, it's not enough that we have two gyms. They want to build some kind of a gym between the union and the two gyms. I don't even know what it is. I'm sure I'm getting it wrong. I'm sure there's some other kind of athletic thing that you can possibly do. But it's a school, for God's sake. Whatever happened to classrooms and undergraduate studies and building up things like that? I just haven't heard much talk about those things lately. All I hear about is, yeah, we're Division One. We're the number one. Well, we're not the number one team, are we? We're in the number one sports division of some sort of thing somewhere. Okay, great. You know, that's wonderful. I'm all for it. But how does that benefit everybody else? Does it bring the tuition down? Does it make the campus better in other ways? Does it open things up for more programs? Does any of the money filter down here to get our equipment out of the 1960s? Anything other than just creating more and more sports? Nothing against sports. It's just sports are sports, and academics are academics. They're two different things. And it just seems like one is eclipsing the other over and over again. And all I ever hear about around here is sports. It's a bit much. Yeah, that doesn't turn me into a sports hater now, does it? Who's been talking about the Winnipeg Jets for the last few weeks? Just, I like to see. I went to the school years ago. I like to see the school progress in other ways, too. Many, many years ago, they were talking about building a liberal arts tower. And, of course, they couldn't do that because there was no money. But since then, they've built a stadium. They've built another gymnasium. They're doing God knows what now, with the clear cutting and at the north entrance. I'd like to know what that's all about. And all kinds of other things. Missing the mark. All right. Yeah, I'm in a bitchy mood. That's true. I am. I'm not quite sure why. But it is good to be back. Believe it or not, it is good to be back here, seeing friendly faces and familiar sights and things like that. And, you know, the country, traveling across the country is not such a bad thing either. In fact, it's a great thing. I like nothing better than getting into a car and just hitting the open highway and knowing I can go anywhere. Well, maybe being in a train doing the same thing, or... Well, there's a lot of things I like to do, but that's one of the things I like to do. And that's what I did. That was the whole point, was to move my friend's car from New York to Arizona. And then while I was out there, I ventured over to California, up to Seattle. And had a lot of fun, a lot of interesting experiences. But I gotta say, on the way, my ass out of here before I slip up in some way. It shouldn't be that way. You should be able to turn on the radio and hear something that is not fervent Christianity being shoved down your throat, or hate speech intended to make you fear people of other nationalities or even other political backgrounds. And that's what you hear if you listen to the radio. Now, of course, you could just get your iPod or something and simply play that and be oblivious to it all. And I guess a lot of people probably are driving through middle America doing nothing but that. But you're kind of closing your eyes to what's actually out there. And I ask myself, why is this the case? Why is it always when you're driving through these places, you hear three things? You hear country music. I like some country music. I just don't like non-stop country music everywhere on eight different radio stations. You hear that, you hear fundamentalist religion, as if it were going out of style, as if they had something to worry about. 24 hours a day, multiple stations, and the worst part about it is they take up valuable non-commercial radio time and frequencies. You'll find a lot of these stations below 92 on the FM dial, and in this country that means the station cannot have commercials. Usually it's for NPR stations, university stations, community stations. Well, found very little of that. Virtually every station I found below 92 was preaching the word of God very aggressively. And sometimes they did it in a way that really kind of fooled you. You know, you hear a heavy metal tune or an alternative rock or even classical music, and you think, okay, at least I found some semblance of civilization. But no. Jesus comes in shortly afterwards and indoctrinates you, and there you are all over again. And while you're struggling with all that, you're driving through the countryside, seeing various billboards proclaiming the sovereignty of the gun, and how Obama must be stopped, the socialists must be driven out, all kinds of ignorance and hatred and stupidity. And yeah, it just scares you after a while, because it's not a conversation. It's not a conversation that you're hearing. It's not a debate. It's a lecture. You're being indoctrinated. And I would say the same thing if there were nothing but left-wing radio stations preaching what they believe in nonstop over and over again. I've yet to experience that anywhere, but if that were the case, I would think that was an unhealthy thing. And I just wonder, kids growing up out there, how do they find alternative messages? Well, the internet. Yeah, God help them, the internet. Okay, that's one way, but you got to do a lot of work to filter out all the noise. But it is a way. It is a way out of that. It's also a way into all that for the rest of us. But I guess that's where individuals make up their minds. Thing is, in such a wide space of America, making up your mind is considered to be a bad thing. And it's incredible, too, because I drove through the Pennsylvania Dutch area. I actually did that for the first time. I hadn't done that before. And that's where people drive around in horse and buggies and wear their straw hats and all that. And it's considered very backwards, very old, not paying any attention to what's going on in the modern world. Yet, that culture is so much more open-minded than our modern-day fundamentalists. They encourage their kids to go out, check out the world. And if you're not too happy with it, come back and be a part of this culture. And a lot of people do. That's called making up your mind. That's called being open to possibilities. It's something we really shouldn't be afraid of. So, yeah, that's some of what I saw and a lot of what I didn't see. And I'll tell you, you know, whenever I came upon an NPR station, it was like Mecca. It was like a breath of fresh air. Yeah, if I said Mecca out there, how would that be taken? Oh, boy. The fear people have towards anyone who's Arab, towards anyone who's Mexican, and they equate the two as well. They actually equate the two as equal as far as evil. And I have to ask myself, if this is what we're preserving, then we need more outside influence as quickly as possible. Stream over the borders, overrun us with your culture. Please, we don't want this. We really don't want, we don't need this. This is not healthy. And it's all built on defensiveness and suspicion and hatred. But yeah, occasionally I'd find these voices of sanity. And it's just incredible to me how throughout much of the mainstream, even not just these wide areas where there's only one voice being spoken, but even in places where many voices are spoken, the impression is given that outlets like NPR are somehow left-wing biased or of some agenda. And when I listen, I'm hearing the news from a variety of sources. I'm hearing interviews, documentaries, things like that. I'm able to make up my own mind as to whether something is true or not or how accurate it is. And it's incredible that that is enough to label you as left-wing. It's really sad. I guess anyone making up their own mind or just listening to other opinions, that's enough to get you condemned. thing is, you can turn on the radio here and hear the exact same things. We have neighbors on our FM dial that are just as fundamentalist as anyone else. In fact, they predicted the end of the world a few weeks ago, and apparently they got away with that. You hear the hate radio on AM. You do hear alternatives. You do hear things like USB, even though we're at micro power right now. You do hear things like NPR and WBAI and other voices, but you also hear everything that's being heard in the rest of the country, which is fine. At least we have some choice, but it's not like that is in any way endangered. And there are some people who actually seem to think that it is. That the right wing in this country is somehow in danger. If anything, they are controlling things to an extent that you simply cannot believe. And to prove this, you just have to look at the left wing. Look at the Democrats. Look how they're always running scared. Always trying to placate the right for some reason. And I'm just hoping for the day where somebody stands up and says, enough. I'm liberal. I'm proud of it. I disagree with these people, and I'm not going to try to make them my friends because they're not. I really think that's what people will respect. And that would result in more of a mandate as far as things getting done. You know, I'm reading in the papers about these high-speed train links being opened up in China. Yeah, it happened as of the beginning of the month. Between Beijing and Shanghai. You can now get there in what, 20 seconds or something? It's incredible. They just keep building and building and building cool things. Not just destroying trees, although there is some of that, but building something that helps the people. Cuts down on air traffic. And is very energy efficient. And technologically advanced. They're doing that. They're building more trains over there than the rest of the world combined. More train lines, that is. And here in this country, we are debating whether or not trains are good. We keep moving backwards. There was a station I heard in St. Louis where they were actually talking about dismantling their public transit system so they could put more money into the highways. Dismantling it. Going backwards. And the thing is, we're all guilty because we hear such nonsense and we take it seriously. We treat it as if it's a valid opinion, when it's not. Not every opinion is a valid opinion. A lie is not another side of the issue, it's just a lie. I don't know who said that, but it's a very wise statement. And too often we just simply listen, trying to be fair, and giving people who have absolutely no idea what they're talking about and no interest in anything other than their own voice, we give them far too much credit. And, you know, you can see that anywhere on the net that, and this is something I'm always railing about, particularly CNN these days. Newsday used to do it a lot worse, but CNN really does it horribly now, where you have this this news article, this sometimes well-researched news article, sometimes an opinion piece, and then you give some idiot from God knows where the exact same pedestal to speak on. And so somebody tells a very moving story about how they saved orphans from a fire on Christmas Eve and how it really moved their lives. And then as soon as that article ends, you see Joe Schmo from Arkansas. Sorry, Arkansas, but I visited you for the first time. Saying something to the effect of, well, I think orphans are stupid and they should all die. You know, something like that is the first thing you read after reading a piece that somebody actually wrote, researched, poured their heart into. No, not every opinion is equal and should be given the same ground. And it's the height of naivete to think that that's how we have dialogue. That's not how we have dialogue. That's how people with the loudest voices, the most offensive things to say, get all the attention. And I think that's how we've been running the country over the past couple of decades. Sort of listening in mock shock. Yes, mock shock. saying, my God, did you really mean that? Well, if we believe you, then we'll have to do away with freedom of speech. And, well, okay, let's do away with freedom of speech, and then you'll see how bad it is. See, I can't speak anymore. Don't you feel bad? No, you don't feel bad? Well, I feel bad. Doesn't anybody care? And that's I see a lot of that in the radio world, where people try to interpret the FCC's lack of interpretive speech. And they do it in the most hysterical way possible. Well, we can't say these words, so maybe we can't say these words either. We better be careful and not even talk about those words or ideas. And let's just play music and shut up. And yeah, that'll show the right wing how much their policies hurt. It doesn't. Sometimes people are meant not to be taken seriously and to be challenged at every step, even if it's not deemed as being completely fair to all sides. Sometimes you have to raise your voice and make sure that what you care about is heard. Wow, can I really get off on a tangent? Especially when the internet is down and I have a micro-broadcasting station and very little material. But, I do have some things. This is actually related to some of the things I was saying. And if there are calls out there, we'll take them. Tell you what. Okay. I guess whoever was out there read my mind because the phone started ringing immediately. I guess there are people. If I see three lights light up, I hate doing this to people, but if I see three people call in, 631-632-9872, that'll tell me there's enough people out there for me to actually turn on the delay machine and do all that, and we can have a nice conversation. It also means the radio station is working, which is always a nice thing to know. But yeah, okay, I mentioned the whole gun thing. This is something that happens. It's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. I see two calls. That's good. Three calls. All right, thank you. Thank you. Everybody else, four calls. Okay, people, enough already. Five calls. Thank you. All right. It's good to know people are out there, people are listening, and the station is working. Okay, we'll take phone calls maybe in about, 10 minutes? Okay, you can all hang up now. Go away. All right. Thank you. It's great to know you're out there. But the gun issue is something that just keeps coming up. It keeps coming up forcibly in so many places, so many arenas. This may happen to you, kids listening out here or various other places. You may notice, and it may happen to you personally. It's happened to me a bunch of times. People you hang out with, people that you have a lot in common with, just start to get obsessed with the issue of guns. It becomes all pervasive. It becomes the only thing they talk about, the only thing they care about. They can eliminate the First Amendment, but as long as they don't eliminate their right to carry guns, everything is fine. And I think, and I don't mean to be speaking down to people when I say this, but I think this really is a form of mental illness. It's a form of obsession, where this is the only thing that matters to somebody. And they can deal with all kinds of other abuses, all kinds of other harm to their lives. But as long as they're able to keep a stockpile of weapons in their home for God knows what reason, they feel like they're living a decent life. And this has happened to a number of people I know. They've moved to one of these godforsaken states where pretty much anything goes. And by that, I mean, you can walk into bars, you can walk into churches, you can walk into schools with concealed weapons, and that's considered normal. And places like New York, where that's frowned upon, are looked on as socialist states. Now, of course, we're not immune from this. We had a horrible killing just a few miles from here while I was away in a drugstore. This guy, this lunatic, walked in and just executed four people in cold blood. And then proceeded to rob the place of prescription painkillers. Because his wife was addicted to something. Now, there is no gun regulation that could have prevented that. And at the same time, all the guns in the world couldn't have prevented that. There are some times where you have to look at a situation and say, this is a result of the sickness of our society, where we just are overly violent and people just act completely crazy for no apparent reason. And this is something where I think both sides just don't get it. You can make things illegal if you want, but people are always going to find their way to get particular weaponry. You can arm the entire populace, but all it takes is a couple of seconds, and there's no way everybody can be alert all the time. So, yeah, it doesn't make any difference in this case. What we have to look at is why this kind of thing keeps happening. Why the obsession? And I think that that relates to something that I see in a lot of other people. Where having all this weaponry at their disposal becomes the most important thing. More important than feeding their families. More important than the right of free speech and doing all sorts of other things with their lives. That's what I think we really have to worry about. I met a few of my friends, actually, along the way, and always these debates get started. Biggest debate, of course, being what happened in Arizona with the shooting of the congresswoman by the mentally deranged guy that just took it upon himself to do this. Plenty of signs that the guy was mentally deranged, yet he had access to all these weapons. Everyone's saying the system failed. Well, here's the thing. If you label somebody as mentally incompetent to possess a weapon, all these people are going to come out of the woodwork to defend his right to have that weapon, because that to them is the most important thing in the world. And yeah, I got my friends to admit they would have been there. They would have been there to say, you have no right to take this man's weapons from him. He hasn't done anything yet. Same thing for the guy in Medford, a few miles from here. Legally purchased guns. Plenty of warning signs. But he hasn't done anything yet. And basically, the conclusion is that this is the price we pay to live in a free society. Yeah, occasionally these things are going to happen. But isn't it far better that occasionally large groups of people are mowed down by semi-automatic machine guns than we give up the right to have semi-automatic machine guns? Yeah, I say that in kind of a mocking tone, but that really is the same conclusion that people reach. And I gotta ask, what advantage do you obtain from this? You're not steering the country, well, actually, I guess you are steering the country into lunacy, but I mean steering the country in a more direct way by kicking out governments that are abusing our rights. We had George W. Bush for 8 years. We got the Patriot Act. We have warrantless searches all over the place now. Guns didn't do anything to help prevent that from happening. Not a thing. Nobody stood up to that. It's not about that. It's about a bunch of middle-aged men, usually, who like to have their toys. And I'm all for that. I really am. As long as you guys admit that that's what it's all about, and you take precautions, and use common sense, and get training, and keep them out of the hands of people that are ticking time bombs. And, you know, I think a lot of us are ticking time bombs, but there are degrees. There are certain people that certainly should not be around these things. Let me give you an example here. I don't know if you guys remember this. Arkansas, I'm picking on Arkansas a lot because Arkansas was the one state I went to that I'd never been to before. And it's the second to last state before I've been to all of them. Hawaii is the only state left. It was in Arkansas that there was a massacre. I don't know if you guys remember this. The West Side Middle School Massacre. Yeah, it was, it happened, what year did that happen? Somewhere back in the 1990s when school shootings started to become popular. One of the kids was 11 years old when he did this. I just found this out because I was going through all kinds of historical records recently. And I found out both of these kids are out. Both of these kids are free now. They killed 4 students and a teacher, wounded 10 others, traumatized God knows how many. They said they were sorry. And I guess because they were juveniles, they couldn't be held much longer than past 18. I won't get into that. That's a whole other thing. I was kind of surprised to find out they were walking around. But listen to this. One of the guys, Mitchell Scott Johnson, he was released in 2005. And his whereabouts were, actually, let me rephrase that. He was released in 2005 on his 21st birthday. And then on January 1st, 2007, he was arrested after a traffic stop in Fayetteville, Arkansas, for carrying a loaded 9mm pistol. Yeah, no trouble getting that. And obviously, a continued interest in it. The other guy, Andrew Douglas Golden, he was released in 2007, also on his 21st birthday. And his whereabouts were unknown until he applied for a concealed weapon permit in Arkansas in 2008. His application was denied. They noted that he had lied on the application about his previous residences and claimed it would be illegal for him to own or possess a firearm. Though the reason for this is unclear. This is what it says in Wikipedia. The reason for this is unclear, why it would be illegal for him to carry a firearm. And there are people who are saying this. They are saying this as if it were a valid point. Why shouldn't he be able to get a gun? A guy who participated in a school shooting has the right to get a gun in the eyes of these people who we take seriously. There was an article in the New York Times. For some reason, this is becoming an issue. Right exactly at the point where I started taking an interest in it. The New York Times article from July 2nd, some with histories of mental illness petition to get their gun rights back. With a number of examples, at least a few hundred people with histories of mental health issues already get their gun rights back each year. The number promises to grow since most of the new state laws are just beginning to take effect. And these states actually are passing these laws in response to reaction against the Virginia Tech shooting a few years ago that tried to make it harder for people with mental health issues to get guns. I don't know. It's an incredible set of circumstances having these kinds of discussions. It seems so obvious to make a point and say this is not a good idea, only to be met by a chorus of people saying, but it is a good idea. Why not? And then you have to sit back and watch as the tsunami hits the nuclear power plant and all your worst fears are confirmed, only to have people say, well, didn't know that was going to happen. Sometimes it feels like you're just treading water, swimming upstream, whatever. But at least we have gay marriage now in New York, huh? That's a positive thing. Yeah. Happened while I was away. I was actually watching television in Seattle when this happened. I heard Governor Cuomo mention Stony Brook. I don't know why he mentioned Stony Brook, but he did. Maybe he was into cutting down all the trees or something. I'm not sure. But he said a lot of progress being made at Stony Brook. And hopefully he meant academically, not just with the sports. And the next day, it was signed into law. And this is huge. This is huge for the basic reason that New York is a very big state. The biggest state so far, I believe, that has legalized marriage, gay marriage. And it's amazing. It's another thing I got into arguments with people about out there. And get the logic here. The logic here is it's not fair for gay people to have special rights. Special rights. These are the same rights as everybody else has. Yeah, but marriage is something that entitles you to special benefits. Why should they get special benefits? Hello? The special benefits. Yeah, okay. The special benefits may be that everybody gets who gets married. Why aren't you out there fighting about marriage in general? Well, if the gays were so noble, they would not be fighting for something that is so corrupt. And end of discussion there. This is one of the prevalent views out there. Prevailing views, that is. Yeah, okay. But, you know, you have to sort of sometimes turn that off and just look at the good things that are happening. And this is most definitely a good thing. Happened right before Pride weekend. And just a sense that progress has actually been made. Yeah, there are people that aren't going to get it. There are people that are going to keep preaching their hatred. We can't be obsessed with them. We can't let that ruin the mood. We can't let that stop the progress. We are not going to make everybody happy. We're going to make some people very angry. And that's good. That's a sign of progress. I think that's one of the big mistakes Obama makes constantly, is that he's trying to make everybody happy. Yeah, I know he's a politician, but a successful politician makes a good number of people angry because they're making changes. And changes are a big enemy to a lot of people who are used to a certain way. So, I hope that he gets a little more aggressive with his points of view, with his ways of expressing himself, with his policies. But at the same time, I hope people that purport to back him, to be on the same side, raise their voices too. And get his back when certain things are attacked. Healthcare being a perfect example. Yeah, it wasn't everything that we wanted. But by not supporting what little we're getting, we might as well just join the chorus of people against the whole thing. Same thing with closing Guantanamo Bay. Something he wanted to do. A lot of people spoke up against it. Not enough people spoke up for it. Because they were unhappy it wasn't going far enough, so they wouldn't support anything. It's childish, it's self-defeating. And it gives the other side so much more power, so much more of a voice. And it just gives the wrong impression. It gives the impression that this particular side, however uninformed, however hysterical, however reactionary, that is the valid opinion. There is no other opinion. Well, there is. There are lots of other opinions. But by uniting our voices on the things we agree with, we can finally show the world, the country, that it's not just a lecture from one side. It's a conversation. It's a debate. So, yeah, you know, these are the things that go through your mind as you're traveling across the country, listening, watching, learning. And there are plenty of good things, too. Don't get me wrong. Plenty of good things. Plenty of cool people to hang out with. One thing I saw, this blew me away, driving through Texas late at night, somewhere west of Dallas. I saw all these flashing red lights. I thought they were you know, those oil things that are constantly bobbing for oil, or maybe radio towers or something like that. Hundreds and hundreds of lights, all flashing in unison. It was nighttime. I couldn't see what they were until I finally got close enough to roll down the window and take a look. And what do you think it was? It was a wind turbine. A wind turbine, like the kind you see overseas. And it was spinning, generating wind power. I looked around, and for miles in every direction, there were nothing but wind turbines. It was the biggest wind turbine farm I have ever seen in my life, and it was in Texas. The last thing I expected to see. So yeah, there are surprises everywhere. There are signs of progress everywhere. You have to look for them, you have to try and build them, you have to encourage them. Not get obsessed with the negativity. Not give it too much attention. At times you have to ignore it. Anyway, we'll be focusing on some of the audio that I got from the last few weeks. In the weeks ahead. It must be kind of confusing to people who listen to the show on a regular basis, because last week, if you listen to this show, I was on a train to Sweden with Kyle, and we were talking about Scandinavia, and that was recorded last December, only to be aired last week. And we still have more from that voyage to come. We have Denmark, we have Germany, we have Switzerland, but the trip Arizona and California and Seattle, that's going to kind of cut ahead in line, and you'll be hearing that in the weeks ahead, probably followed by Scandinavia. Not really sure what the scheduling is going to be yet, but all kinds of interesting things. Different voices. That's what it's all about, right? Different voices. I'm sorry, you know, I just got all... I stand up and I start, like, facing the wall and just, like, gesturing, and I don't even look at the phone, and I'm looking at it now, and it's all lit up, and I'm sorry. Okay, here's what we're going to do. I got Dr. Demento? Okay, Dr. Demento is here. He's going to lead us into delay land. And once we get there, well, then we'll start taking phone calls at 631-632-9872.
Hi, this is Dr. Demento, and you're tuned to WUSB Stony Brook, the station that plays music from all across the known universe.
Well, that went pretty smoothly. Again, the phone number is 631-632-9872. 631-632-WUSB. And we'd like to hear from you. Oh, they all hung up? There were four calls on there, and now they're all gone. Okay, they're coming back. Yeah, you know, that's the problem with modern-day phone systems, or the phone network in general. Used to be you could ring a phone all weekend long, and it would never hang up. It would just keep ringing. But now, if you don't pick up in 20 rings, no money's being generated, so they have to disconnect you, and you got to start over. I'm sorry. All those calling in, please call back. 631-632-9872. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, how you doing there, Manuel? Enjoying the show, as always. Really.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Where might you be calling from?
Miller Place.
Okay, so our signal is getting that far.
Sure. We're hearing you.
Okay, good. That's good to know.
Listening to what you're saying, it always makes you think about all these different things, and you're always all over the place, so it's always hard to, like, stay
yeah.
within a certain parallel.
I am all over the place. You're right.
But, Clear-Cut University, is this the second patch of forest that they've gone after? Because I remember there was one when they, near the Wang Center or whatever there.
There was that in back of the Union. Remember, they used to have a nice little forest there, tennis courts, things like that. Now it's one huge parking lot for that damn stadium. And the stadium, by the way, Why? Why in God's name do they have to put those huge lights on in the middle of the night? I'm talking 2 o'clock in the morning I saw those things on. You could see them from space. There's absolutely no reason. There's a huge energy waste, and it's ugly, and you can't see any of the stars. But the most recent clear-cutting took place right at the north entrance as you come up that hill.
I'll have to check it out. I know what you're talking about.
You'll notice it right away.
It's sad when you think about it. You know, most of, we spend so much money on open space studies and all the stuff that the university orchestrates. You know, a lot of money goes towards, they tell you, you got to save the environment, you got to, you know, encroach gently into the environment and all this other stuff. They always, but then they can't even, you know, practice what they preach.
Well, it's part of the exercise. They say, because this is what happens if you don't. And then they show you, and then you learn.
But it's sad to see such a place of intellectualism so stupid. I mean, and they don't even, they always do it like it seems as though in the middle of the night you just show up there and all the trees are gone. They never, like, give any kind of hearings, nor do they allow any input.
Or if they do give hearings, they don't really advertise them, and we don't find out about them until it's too late.
Right, which is the perfect world for them, so then they don't get stopped or at least, you know, have some sort of thought process into it. I mean, why exactly is it being done, and for what benefit is it to the university?
I think, though, it might be less of a conspiracy on their part and more of a complacency on our part, where we're just simply not paying attention, or we don't care. We just think it's inevitable and it's part of progress, and we just accept it. And I think that's a lot more harmful.
I think everybody cares about the environment. As you see, I mean, what brings everybody out to the country, which is what we used to call Long Island, the country, was the beauty and the forest and the peacefulness. And, you know, it seems as though the developers have really run roughshod over any type of, like I said before, academic review of their actions, because it would seem as though that they're just, you know, they're insistent on displacing every tree, forest, rock. I mean, they just want to move everything at least once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I realize they come in later with landscapers. But you never can replace what Mother Nature has granted us, you know?
No. And I can't imagine what they're thinking of putting there that wouldn't have been able to survive with existing forestry and fields and things like that. You know, it just looks so barren right now.
Yeah. And you know they're just going to build something else that's probably going to get partially used. Or, like you said, it's just going to always have lights on. It's going to be air-conditioned and heated, and nobody's ever going to be in it or using it.
Uh-huh. Well, I guess we'll just keep an eye on it and see what happens next.
So we just definitely have to continue to call a clear-cut university, because that's what it is, I guess, you know?
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on it. We'll keep reporting. But thanks thanks for your call.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, take care. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Speak up, please.
Hey, John.
Hi, what's on your mind?
I just called to talk about what you're talking about. I think that the whole thing with, you know, like guns and, like, the obsessions that people have, it just has a lot to do with, like, the whole way that we've constructed our society in America, with, like, the extreme, like, level of capitalism that we've, like, evolved into. It's just, like, it breeds the paranoia, like, with the 9/11 truthers and stuff like that. And,
uh-huh.
You know, like, all the obsession with, like, government and, like, they're out to get us and stuff. That's been going on long before 9/11 and all that.
Well, you know, it comes from all different angles. It comes from all different sides, like the truther movement being one of them, conspiracy theorist another. When I was in Texas and Arizona, just the hatred and fear about Mexicans, California, too, to a great degree, and all based on hearsay and just a lot of misinformation. And the people I really fear are the ones that are spreading all the hatred in the first place.
Oh, yeah, without question, it's like they feel that their, like, notions of America are, you know, like, falling away, and they feel that that's a bad thing, without even opening their minds to what possible, like, goods that can come out of, like, you know, like, meeting new people and
right, and they convinced me, listening to them nonstop, well, almost nonstop, while I was driving, and just seeing all their documentation and hearing their speech. They convinced me that if, in fact, their way of life is in jeopardy, then that's a good thing, and we need to bring it on, because this is not healthy. This is not a good way of life, and there are so many other positive things we could be doing instead.
Absolutely. I mean, like, with the way, like, radio is going in America, and, you know, TV, of course, too, but there's just so few options for, like, ideas, and then, you know, things are being, like, controlled by, like, Clear Channel, and then they could go to things like, you know, the religious networks that control, like, the bottom end of the spectrum. It's just really closing out voices.
Yeah. In the end, though, it's going to reflect what people are shouting about. And if people want something more progressive, they need to raise their voices and demand that. And something will come of it. But if we just accept it, we just accept whether it's clear-cutting or religious broadcasting or just simplistic thinking under the disguise of intellectual debate, we're not going to get any change. We're just going to be fed the same garbage, and people are going to assume that we're content with that.
Well, luckily for all of us, we've got people like you doing what you do.
Ah, shucks. Well, thanks. Where might you be calling from?
Before I let you go, could I ask you, like, I'm heading over to Europe.
Okay.
Like, a couple of weeks, like, would you, like, recommend, like, just doing, like, the rail thing?
Well, okay, tell me what part of Europe you're heading to.
Definitely going to Germany and, like, Czech Republic, Hungary.
Okay, you're going to the Chaos Camp?
I'm thinking about it, but the buddy I'm traveling with isn't a big, like, tech guy, so it'd be tough to bring him to that. You know?
Well, okay, well, it's something to consider, but, yeah, well, by all means, are you under 26?
No.
Yes or no?
No, I'm 30.
Okay. Well, okay. For people under 26 and under, that is, the Eurail pass is a really good deal. You can still get fairly good deals at any age, but they really managed to chop the price there. In any event, though, train travel is certainly the best way to get around Europe. I would not take planes from one city to another because you miss out on the landscape and you don't really get to see what you're passing over. I would go to as many places as you can, but spend enough time in each. Spend at least, I'd say, 3 days in a city, and that's really not enough time anyway. But if you have some kind of a schedule, Prague is someplace I would certainly recommend going to. Definitely Berlin, and those are places you can spend a lot more than 3 days just wandering around, taking it all in. Try to mix it up. Try to go to something out in the country, some metropolitan areas, and just get a sense of the cultural differences. But what is it that you'd like to see?
I just want to take in the local culture, and, like, you know, I like going to, you know, art museums and
mm-hmm.
you know, bigger cities I go to. I'd also like to check out, like, some, like, rural areas and get, like, a, you know, taste of, like, the way people live.
Right. Well, you can definitely do all of that very very easily. Things are simple to get to. But I would recommend at least Berlin and Prague, amongst many other places. And just don't be afraid to take chances. Don't be afraid to go off the beaten path. That's what I've done many times, and it almost always results in something surprising and interesting.
You buy your train tickets before you even get over there?
You can, yes. Well, the thing is, that will lock you into a certain time that you have to go or a certain day. And that that could make it harder for you to make a spur of the moment decision and do something else. But you might save some money doing it that way. So it's a trade off.
Well, thanks for your time. I got the new 26 on the mail day, so looking forward to checking that out.
Great. And where are you calling from?
Oh, Minneapolis.
Minneapolis. Great. All right. Well, thanks so much for your call.
Yeah, take care, man.
All right, and have fun in Europe. And that's going to do it for us tonight. Thanks everybody for calling in. Great hearing from you, and great. Exchanging ideas and thoughts. You can write to us, otw@2600.com. Feel free to use whatever language you feel is necessary to get your point across. Don't worry, I won't be offended. It's all about dialogue and exchange of ideas and information. And sometimes traveling through weird, strange places. That's how you learn. This is Emmanuel for Off the Wall. We'll see you next week. Good night.
I was in Paris, waiting for a flight, when this guy came up to me and said,
"Have you got a light?"
Well, I was born.
I was in Paris, waiting for a flight, when this guy came up to me and said,
"You got a light?"
And you know what happened?
It's Finn with you till the 9 o'clock hour right here on WUSB Stony Brook. This is Finn's Revolution tonight. Some music from Mr. John Laurie, the Lounge Lizards, and Mr. John Coltrane. You know why? Because I feel like it. That's it. Listen up. Plus some great tickets to the movies. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
got a bone for you. I got a bone for you. I've got a little bone for you. I got a bone for you. 'Cause I'm a doggy. Yes, I'm a doggy. And I'm naked almost all the time. You know, I stink when I'm wet. At the moon, and I growl at your feet, and I chase little rabbits when I go to sleep, 'cause I'm a doggy.
The Lounge Lizards from their debut record, The Lounge Lizards, and that was Harlem Nocturne, of course. And one of the beautiful things about that first Lounge Lizards record, which I still have on vinyl from when I got it, is that it's produced by the great Tio Macero, and just created such a vibe for Lurie and company, I think, there, that it's... just a beautiful, beautiful piece. It creates a vibe that